And we'll talk about that coming up in another few verses. But he says this, you know, the carnal mind is enmity against God. Enmity, we use that all the time at school and at home, don't we? That's the word. We just use that word everywhere we go. How's your enmity? You know, what? No, that's not commonly used, but it's a word. It does make sense. You know, the word means hostility or hatred. Notice the carnal mind is in hostility and hatred toward God. If you as a Christian have ever tried to witness to a non-Christian and you got a response that wasn't positive, you know what I'm talking about. You say, I'd like to talk to you about Jesus, or maybe I'd like to share something from the Bible, and they look at you and say, man, I'm not interested in that garbage. That's fairy tales as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to hear it. Don't shove it down my throat. And you think, whoa, there's hostility and hatred toward God, because that mind is carnal. Remember, everybody, that we are, this is how we're built. We are body, soul, and spirit. Remember, I had mentioned that before. The body being the tent that you live in. Soul being your mind and your emotions. Spirit being what's given life and the real, real you deep down inside. Now, notice that your mind and your emotions are stuck between the spirit and the flesh. Notice that. And the spirit or the flesh, they're going to control your mind and your emotions. They're going to rule. One of them is going to rule. Either the spirit or the flesh are going to rule. And notice the carnal mind is enmity, hatred, hostility against God. It is not subject to the law. That means it does not submit to the law of God. And indeed, it cannot be or can't be. It is not possible. A carnal mind cannot be submitted to God or to God's stuff in any way at all. You can be a Christian and you can walk with a carnal mind. You can walk in the flesh. I can be a Christian and I can walk in the flesh. But remember, the flesh or the spirit are really going to control things. Before you were born again, as a non-Christian, if there's a non-Christian in here today, you're dead. You're blind. You don't know. There was no life at all. There was your mind and your emotions, and there was your body. But there was no living spirit. You were separated from God for eternity, and something had to happen. We needed a Savior. Some of us have accepted Jesus Christ, and our spirits now have come to life. The real you is now intact. There is eternal life. But you still got that soul. The mind and the emotions, what controls them? What rules them? Is it the spirit? Or is it the flesh? You're only interested in the things of the flesh. One of them is going to rule, and you'll notice that the carnal mind, the flesh, you can't be. Oh, it's not submitted to God's law and cannot be. It is impossible. And so if I'm a Christian and I walk in the flesh, I'm not going to be submitted to God. Now, don't misunderstand what he's saying. You know, you have to understand. You have to get the picture. I read a story about a mom and a dad. They were going to go out for the evening. They got a babysitter. They had three children. They got a babysitter. And the babysitter came in, and the mom and dad took off and went to dinner, wherever else they were going to go. And they came back pretty late, maybe near midnight. And they asked, how did everything go? And the babysitter said, well, you know, everything's really sort of under control, but your daughter, your seven-year-old, she is still crying. She went to bed crying, and she can't go to sleep. Everything I've said, I can't get her to stop crying, and I don't know what to do. And the dad said, you know, I'll go in and I'll talk to her. And as he walked in and opened the door, she just rolled over because she had her face in her pillow, and her face was all puffy red, and she'd been crying for hours. And he said to her, he said, honey, now what's wrong? And she said, the babysitter told us, because we weren't being very nice. The babysitter said that when we're good, our parents would love us. But if we're bad, our parents won't love us anymore. And she said, and I've been bad, so I'm afraid you don't love me anymore. And so I've been crying and I can't quit. And her dad picked her up and he held her and he said, honey, I love you. And when you are good, that makes me happy. But I want you to know also, I love you, And when you are bad, I still love you. It just makes me sad. See, you can be a Christian and walk in the flesh, and God still loves you. But the relationship has not been broken. The fellowship has. Does that make sense? Let me put it another way. As a young man, rarely happened, but once I got in trouble. Okay, twice. Well, a few, okay. Let's not go into, hey, how about you? And so my dad would say something like, you know, all right, you know, you need to go to your room and don't come out till you're 30. I was in trouble. And I would go to my room. Now, has the relationship been broken? Are they still my parents? Yes. Do they still love me? Yeah. But the fellowship has been broken. Now, I need to be giving it some thought and maybe come out of my room in a little while and say to my parents, I apologize. I have been wrong. And my attitude was no good or whatever the situation. And I want to confess it to you. I'm sorry. And of course, they still love me. Okay, then you can come out. Are you 30? No, but it's okay. You can come out this time. What we're learning is you can be a Christian and you can walk in the flesh. It's going to destroy your life. There will be no peace. There will be no joy. But you still belong to your Father. He loves you. Like the Father said, I love you, and when you do right, it makes me happy. And I love you. Now, when you do wrong, I still love you. It just makes me sad. We read this. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. We're talking to Christians now. Not non-Christians, but we're talking to Christians. I'm a Christian, and if I'm walking in disobedience to God, He still loves me, but it is not, you know, like the Father said, I still love you, but this makes me sad. I want to make sure I kind of get these out of order, and I don't want to get them out. Walking in the flesh, you can't please God. So I guess we should stop and ask this question before, because I want to get ahead of myself, but I don't want to read a verse yet. The question is, what has been ruling you? We all have to answer the question. Has it been the spirit? Or has it been the flesh? Because something's been ruling you and I. What has it been? You, he says, verse 9, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. See, he likes to think the best of all of us. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, of course, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If to be born again, you ask Jesus Christ into your life. Once you ask Jesus to come into your heart, the Holy Spirit is given to you. God's Holy Spirit. Remember, He's a person, the third person of the Trinity. And He's given to you. You and I are the temple of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. He says, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, everybody that's born again, you're a Christian, you say, then you've got God's Holy Spirit. But is He dwelling in you? Now, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in my life, but the word to dwell means to be at home. Now, according to Scripture, the Holy Spirit can be in my life, but not be real comfortable there. Let me give you a verse that hopefully this will help you make sense of it. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. See, I can live to where the Holy Spirit is still in my life, but He is grieved. And I don't want to live that way. You can live to where the Holy Spirit, you're born again, the Holy Spirit is in your life, but you're grieving God by what you're doing, where you're going, what you're saying. Here's another verse that may help tie it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 15 through 17. Don't you know that your bodies are the members of Christ? He says. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them a member of a prostitute with a prostitute? God forbid. You know, in Corinth, there were male prostitutes, female prostitutes. It was, they had the temples of prostitution. It was a worship of the false gods. And even people from the Corinthian church were heading out to the temples and headed for the male prostitutes or the female prostitutes. And he says, don't you know your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take a member of Christ and hook them up and make them members of a prostitute or a harlot? God forbid. What? He says, don't you know that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? Because it was God who said, the two shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Now let me put that in American. Wherever I go, whatever I do, the things I watch, the things I participate in, I'm making Jesus be a part of it. So you don't want to walk in the flesh. Now, many times, as when we're young believers, when we're young, we ask this question. It's very common. Well, is it okay? Can a Christian do this? You know, I've had people ask me, is it okay for Christians to roller skate? You know, and they ask questions. What can we do? Because they're wondering, is this a sin? Is that a sin? Can Christians do caffeine? Can Christians, like, eat at grease places? And people are serious. They want to know. But we, you and I, we grow up past that. We begin to grow past that, and we don't ask that question more. We start asking this question. Is this going to glorify God? Is this going to freak him out? You know, you go into the movie theater, and you sit to watch the movie, and it's just absolutely garbage. Well, you know what we call that? In our language, I don't mean to get gross with you, but don't we call that rape? Forcing someone to do against their will? You know, in other words, would Jesus go there without you? A friend of mine told me, he said, man, we went to this movie. He's a Christian. And the guy says, we went to this movie. I thought it was going to be okay. We got in there. It was bad language. He says, man, I almost walked out. I said, man, why didn't you get him walk out? He goes, because it costs so much to get in. I didn't want to be a bad steward with money. I said, oh. I said, you know, I got a way you can avoid that. He goes, really, man, tell me. I've been praying. Don't pay to get in. He goes, that's the only way you can get in. I said, there was only one reason to go to movies today, and you all know what it is. Popcorn. I mean, that's obvious. And I've learned that God invented a microwave, and now you can do that kind of stuff without paying $50 for a barrel. And you know what? Every place you go, Christian, and everything you watch, and everything you're a part of, you make Jesus a part of it too. And so you don't say, is this a sin? You start to say, will this offend my Lord? Would this please him? You turn the TV on and you're hitting that button and you're watching things go by and you stop and you start to hear this and you ask, you know, would this, Lord, do you like this? Of course, anymore you can't watch the news without hearing foul language. So that's, you start to say, I want to live in the Spirit. There's no strength in you to do it. But just remember, wherever we go, whatever we do, things we watch, things we say, whatever we're participating in, we're making Jesus be a part of it too. Would he want to be there? Would he want to be talking that way? Would he want to be listening to this? Would he want to be watching this? Would he really want to be around this? Is it glorifying to the King? And we read this. You know, if Christ be in you, or really, since Christ is in you, that's the language meaning. The body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Remember that we learned in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 11, that we reckon the old man dead. Our old nature. We have to see it as dead. I've heard Christians say this. Maybe you've said it. Maybe you heard it said. Maybe you've even said it. Have you heard this term? Christians will be talking and they'll say, I just need to crucify my flesh. Have you heard that? Let's see. Nod your head. Do this if you mean yes. Anyway. Have you heard that? Nobody, huh? That's not going to work good anyway. You got to get out more often. Yes. Have you ever heard anybody say, I just need to crucify my flesh? Now think about that for a moment. If you could stand the pain of nailing one of your hands to a tree, how would you nail the other one? The point is, you can't crucify your own flesh. It's impossible. So you have to, it becomes a heart issue. You have to reckon that old nature dead. You have to just begin to say, by the power of the Word of God, I begin to see I'm a Christian. I need to walk another way. I don't have any strength to do that on my own. But I just have to reckon the old man, the old woman, the old nature dead. I have to walk and think a whole other way. It's going to take God's Holy Spirit who dwells in us. God Himself. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You reckon it dead. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You've got real life in you, in your life. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and remember, the "if" could be translated since the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. You reckon this old nature dead. Now this body that we have, it's falling apart. Now, some of us, our bodies are falling apart faster than others, but it doesn't matter how healthy and well things are going for you. Your cholesterol, liver, wherever it is, great, God bless you, but it's still going to die. And what He says is, God's going to raise you up again, that body. But it'll be raised up to newness of life. It'll be raised up incorruptible. Immortality. It's in 1 Corinthians 6:14. God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. It's going to happen. 2 Corinthians 4:14. Knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. He's going to raise up these bodies. We'll be given new bodies. Now, if the Lord would come this afternoon, what we call the rapture, snatching away, catching away, violently seize, rapturus, harpazo, if you want to do Greek. You're supposed to say, excuse you. God bless you when I say harpazo as a joke. You missed it. The Greek word harpazo, it means to be violently seized, snatched away, caught up. We're going to be raptured. If that happens this afternoon, this body that you have still can't go to heaven. Reckon it dead. You'll be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Be given a resurrected body. Because this is an earth suit. You see, when people go out in the space shuttles, what do they wear? Space suit. Why? Because that's what you need for that kind. There's no oxygen. And there some of the things that you need, like heat, and they're not there. So you take a space suit. Well, God put you in an earth suit. That's what you wear. You puncture this earth suit, and things can go wrong. And you know how that works. It's an earth suit. All right? Going to heaven. You can't take your earth suit to heaven, just like this earth suit wouldn't work in space. It won't work in heaven. So God's going to give you a heaven suit. A new body. Raised up incorruptible. This mortal must put on immortality. But there's your promise. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, because of that, when you see therefore, look and see what it's there for. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. We're debtors. I know that you and I don't think that way, but we're debtors. The word debt means we have an obligation. Every believer has a responsibility now. We are debtors, but not to live in the flesh. Jesus Christ bought me with a price. I am therefore now a debtor. I have an obligation. Every believer has a responsibility to live each day looking to God's Holy Spirit for direction and strength to walk in Him. And there's no strength in me. So you've heard the prayer. You've seen the prayer written in papers and stuff. The prayer is something like this. Lord, I want to thank you that I belong to you. And I want to thank you that I haven't spoken anything wrong yet. I haven't said anything wrong. I haven't thought anything wrong yet, Lord. I haven't even done anything wrong to anybody. But I'm about to get out of bed now. And all bets are off. So I need you to walk with me, to walk with you, right? See, we are debtors. We have an obligation to look to God's Holy Spirit for the strength to refuse to walk in the flesh. There's no strength in us. Lord, I need you to do that. We're debtors. We're obligated not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. See, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. He's not talking about a death of going to hell. He's writing to Christians. He's not going to take your salvation from you. He's not going to break that relationship. He's talking about a physical death. And it's not just a one-time die. It's like you're dying regularly. You're dying on the vine, so to speak. What he means is, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. Now, Christian, you, and I can say amen to this, you that have been walking in the flesh, you know you're a Christian, but you haven't been walking like you should walk. Man, what's the last thing you want to hear? The Bible. Man, you get into an argument with your wife and you're going good and she starts quoting scripture and you say, don't say that to me, I'm the pastor, I know what it says. Man, there's one thing you don't want to hear when you know you're wrong. You do not want to hear what God's got to say about it, do you? Oh, got to bring up the Bible. Huh? Oh, holy. Oh. You hate that. Why? Because, man, there's death and destruction going on in there. Your body, it's just falling apart on you. You're miserable. You don't want to know what God thinks. You don't want to hear what God says. You're just saying, I don't even want to think about it. If you close your eyes, they won't see you. Remember when we were little, we thought that? I got my eyes closed. You can't see me, Mom. I'm hiding. Man, that's Christians who are walking in the flesh. Because, see, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. It's a miserable life. There's no joy. There's no peace. You always feel under pressure. Another Christian comes along and says, why don't you come to church? You're immediately angry and thinking, oh, Lord, don't I? Because you can't deal with it on the inside because God's speaking to your heart. Get back. Come back. He says, but if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Through the Spirit, to mortify the deeds of the body means to put to death the deeds of the body. Reckon the old nature dead. He said, if you do that, you'll live. Well, wait a minute, you've got life anyway. But you know what? You can have eternal life and not be living. There are many Christians who will tell you that. Amen, man. The last 2 years of my Christian walk, I've been miserable. I've been frustrated. There's no joy. There's no peace. I hate everything. I'm bitter. I'm upset. I'm frustrated. Nothing seems to work. Why? Well, the truth is, I'm not doing things God's way. But you can live while you're alive because you've been given eternal life. Let me show you what living is. Psalm 23. Verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What did that little Sunday school girl say? She quoted it wrong. The Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. It still works. I like it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. See, there's somebody who's living while they're alive. They got the peace. There's no problem. Man, I just want to walk with God. I just want to listen to Him. The Lord's my shepherd. I won't want for anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You know, we're told that sheep have very, very poor equilibrium. If you get them near water that's moving too swiftly, they fall in. Sheep are really stupid. So God says to me, Bob, you're a sheep. Sheep can't defend themselves. They don't bite. They don't have sharp hooves or claws or anything. And they can't run very fast either. Sheep need help, man. And so God looks at us and says, you are my sheep. Because if you don't lead them beside still waters, they'll fall in and drown. He says, Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. There's a peace there. There's real life. You want peace? Joy? That knowing, just that knowing that you're walking. Begin to walk. You see, your mind and your emotions are stuck between the flesh and the spirit. and one of those is always going to run them. Say, Lord, I just want the Spirit to run my life. Help me to hear and to see. I want to start over from today. There's nothing wrong with starting over. I think you ought to start over like every morning. I pray often, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I pray it two or three times in a day, two or three times in a 30-minute period, two or three times sometimes in a minute. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. We read this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You want to be led by God's Holy Spirit, not by your flesh. Jesus says to those that are his, he looks at me, he looks at you, and he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear or where you're going to live. You know, your Father knows you need those things. Your Father is a father to you. Is there a man among you who would offer his son a stone if he asked for bread? Or a snake if he asked for fish? Well, if you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask him? See, you got to start seeing him for what he really is. A father. Not some ugly dude who wants to send you to hell waiting for you to blow it. He loves you. He picks you up and says, even when you disobey, I love you. It doesn't please me, but I love you. And he says this, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Notice, now this is not an offense to cowboys, but God is not a cowboy. He doesn't take a stick or a whip and drive the sheep. Go, stupid on, Dasher, on. Go, sheep. Hey, Bob, get moving. Whack. Do you notice the Bible doesn't say he doesn't drive you anywhere. The Bible says he leads you. Jesus says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. The shepherd just turns and loves you and he says, follow me. And you just walk right on with him. Peacefully just walking with the Lord your God. I want to do what you say, but I don't have the strength. He says, that's all right. You follow me. Any wolves come around, I'll beat them up. You just stick with me. You don't have to have sharp teeth or sharp claws. He says, I'm sending you out there among wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent or harmless as doves. You just trust me, follow me. Jesus doesn't drive the herd. He leads them. And so, remember Augustine, way, way back, centuries and centuries ago. Man of God. They came to him and they asked him this question because he was a Bible teacher. And they said, how can we find God's will? We want to know how to know God's will. His answer, love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your strength, and do anything you want. Now think about it a second. You just love God with everything you are, everything you'll ever be, everything that's within you. And then do what you want. Psalm 37 kind of backs it up. 37:4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That's a twofold meaning. To give you the desires means, number one, he places the desire there. And number two, he then fulfills the desire. God leads us. He leads us. Now, when we were young, my brothers and I, we wanted to catch birds. Did you ever try to do that? We weren't smart as the birds. And we always would argue. And so you'd put pieces of bread. You had to outsmart the birds, and so you couldn't put the bread too far apart or the bird couldn't find it, stupid bird. So you put the bread, you added, it's a science. And so you place the bread where you wanted that bird to go, and the bird would go here and then over here and over here. And you got down the way, not too far, because birds get bored easy. You got down there, you got this box being held up with a stick and a string, and a big pile of bread inside. And the bird's going to follow the bread and then get in there, and you're going to pull the stick or the string, and the box is going to come down. But Lord, I'm telling you, we could never figure out after you got them in the box how to get them out without losing them. you'd slide metal into there and you'd try to slide carbon. You couldn't do it, man. We just weren't smart enough. I'm sure you guys were rocket scientists. But, and of course, we also couldn't figure out that if you were quiet, the birds wouldn't catch on. So we got this string and we're holding it not far enough away from the box and we're arguing. You may pull it. Now stop it, man. It was my idea. And we're fighting and the birds wouldn't even beat the bread, you know? My sister would, she was the rocket scientist. Well, if you guys would be quiet, birds would come. That's how God has been leading you ever since you said, I want to follow you. He'd put this over here and you'd pick it up. Then there would be one over there. There's one over there. You go there and you go there. And if you look back over the years that you've been a Christian, you've really been walking with it, you're going to say, He has led me. I'm headed for the box. He's leading me. God is leading me. So see, how do you know God's will? Love God with all your heart, mind, and strength, and then do whatever you want. And He'll lead you. And when I was young, I remember saying to God, I'll do anything. I'll play music for you. I'll do this for you. I'll do that for you. But I will never teach because I'm not smart enough. You know what God said? Great, come on, follow me. Then after a time, He put the desire in my heart. I got the desire. Well, you know, I really feel like I want to try and teach. And He tricked me. I was in the box. And He knew how to get me locked in. Because, see, that desire came from Him. The Bible says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. It's a twofold meaning. He puts the desire there, and then He fulfills the desire. That desire would have never been there in my life had God not put it there. You say, man, I have a desire. I just really want to support missions. Or I really want to, and I want to pray for them, and I'll give a little bit of my, whatever I can do for missions. That desire has come from God. He placed that desire there because you've been picking up all those pieces, but He's leading you. And now, you've got this desire to pray for the missions. And God fulfills the desire. He puts it there and He fulfills it. You say, I want to do what you want, Lord. And you know what He says? Great. Follow me. Let's walk. Your mind and emotions are in the middle, stuck between the flesh and the spirit. One of those will always rule. You got a choice today. You say, I'm a Christian. Great. Then ask God if He could give you the strength to just walk in Him, to follow Him. Begin to say, Lord, the things I'm doing, do they make you feel uncomfortable? I just want to serve You. I have an obligation. You bought me with a price. You died and paid the price for my sins. You've given me eternal life. I am Your son. I am Your daughter. I'm Yours now. I just want to walk with You. What do You want me to do? How do You want me to go? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Think about that. Some of you aren't born again. You don't know Jesus. Say, I want to, man. I want to have that peace. I want to be a part of that. I don't want the stupid lifestyle. I mean, it's nothing. It's endless. It goes nowhere. Then all you need to do is to say yes to Jesus Christ. Turn to God and ask Him into your heart. Today's a day to start all over again for every one of us. I'm glad God gives me the chance. You got a chance? Take it.